and hearts. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, the almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving God and Father of us all. We pray for the world you have created and for all the peoples who live on earth. Where there is pain and suffering of any kind, use your people to show your love. Where people are not allowed to worship you freely, may they know that you are their refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Where there is sickness and disease, bring forth skills, knowledge, love, and courage to offer comfort and hope for the future. We thank you that you love your creation, and we pray for those who have been led by you to leave their homes to share your love with people in other places around this world. May they know a close walk with you, living in obedience and love. We pray for Rick and Anne Weymouth and their boys, and for Jolene, especially at this time. Guide them, give them wisdom. Thank you that you are their strength. We pray for our country of Aotearoa, New Zealand. Thank you for the relative peace we enjoy here and for the containment of COVID-19 in this country. We pray for our government and for all politicians in New Zealand, that they may seek wisdom and do what is good and best for all who live here. We pray for the upcoming election, that people would be respectful of others, even though opinions may differ, and that you would help us all to make good and wise decisions. We pray that you would be with people in Northland and Gisborne following the heavy rains and flooding. We pray that your people will continue to trust in you through all storms in life. We lift to you your people here at St. Margaret's. Guide our leadership team and all those who make decisions. We thank you for your word, and that we can freely read your word and have access to Bibles in this place. We ask that you would help us all to be your disciples and to teach others to obey you and to believe that you are with us always. We lift up any among us that may be unwell in any way and name them quietly before you now. We pray for ourselves, that we would be still and know that you are God, that we would give you every aspect of our lives and live a life wholly pleasing to you. For you are our God, and we long to see you exalted among all the nations of the world. Let us close by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, and it's my pleasure to give a warm introduction to Joel. Oh, we're going to have, this is Joel just standing up, I'll just introduce you, Joel, and then we'll have our reading, and then you'll, how am I. So Joel serves as the National Director of Operation Mobilisation in Aotearoa, New Zealand. He's married to Joanna, and they're blessed with two daughters, Rebecca and Hannah. Kumar family recently moved to New Zealand from Ontario. Oh my goodness, that's tough. Canada, to take up leadership in the Ministry of Operation Mobilization in our nation. Joel and Joanna have served with OM for over 10 years, and they're currently based in Nelson. Whoa, lovely. Born and raised in India, Joel is committed to the Great Commission and reaching those who are yet to hear the name of Jesus. And the vision of OM is to see the vibrant communities of Jesus' followers among the least reached. Brilliant. OM New Zealand exists to connect God's resources and God's people to God's global mission. It's so great that you come away from your family to be here with us, Joel. And we'll hear Joel in a moment after the gospel reading. Do we stand for the gospel? Yeah, we do, of course. Thank you.
The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, chapter 28, beginning from verse 16 to 20. Praise and glory to God. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise Christ. Please be seated, Joel. Joel, come out. I'll just pray for my brother here. Father, thank you so much for Joel, and thank you, Father, that he brings a word afresh to us about reaching out to people who don't know you. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and hearts to respond. Amen. Bless you, Joel. Thank you.
Thank you.
As our sister was praying about the flooding in Auckland and Brisbane, I was reminded of an email I received yesterday about Bangladesh. A few of our colleagues who work there sent me an email saying approximately 1 million people have been affected by the recent flooding in Bangladesh. And we have several workers in that area who are assessing the current situation and wanting to help, displaying God's mercy and God's love, reminding the people of Bangladesh that God has not forgotten them and God has not stopped loving them. That's our heart as I was sitting there and reminded of the situation around the world. And we have gotten used to some of the words in the last few months, and some of the words are COVID-19 or coronavirus or lockdown. And these words have become very familiar to us and a part of our conversation, even post-lockdown here in New Zealand. And I believe we have a very tremendous opportunity being based here to be what God has called us to be. And God has given this nation a unique opportunity, even getting out of this situation and coming out of lockdown. But what is our priority as Christian believers? We've heard the situation in many countries around the world, lockdown. I was going back and forth via text messages with some of our workers in Pakistan. And some of the remote villages in Pakistan, they have not even heard of the word COVID-19 or coronavirus. They're not even aware of social distancing, let alone to practice certain hygiene. So our workers and colleagues there are going to these people in remote parts of Pakistan and sharing the dangerous aspects of this virus. But not just that. They're being the hands and feet of Jesus, giving them masks and also food, but ultimately sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. There are so many countries around the world who are in desperate situations. In the last few months, OM, Operation Mobilization, the organization that I'm a part of, have reached out to approximately 10,000 people in India alone, distributing needed packets, food packets, and necessary items. There are people that are left to their own devices with no help. And that is the situation in many of the countries. And as I look at New Zealand, as I think about our position, this morning I want to put our focus on how and where the Lord is leading us in this regard. So I want to bring our attention back to the priority of us as Christian believers. Priority of us as Christian believers. I understand that you as a church are going through this series of encountering the Spirit. Encountering the Spirit. Today I want to share the implication of being encountered by the Spirit. As we read this morning, I would like to invite you to meet me at Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Their immediate response as they came in contact and as they came face to face with Christ himself was of worship. And this is how the Gospel of Matthew begins, isn't it? The wise men come to Jesus. And immediately as they find Jesus, they kneel down and they worship him because he is the King. He is the Lord of all. So Matthew, he starts his book with that theme of worship, a theme of King, and ends his book with the same theme of worship. And as disciples saw Jesus, they worshiped him. Just as we are continuing to worship this morning, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Elsewhere, Jesus says, I've not come of my own will, but Father has sent me. The sentness of God, God becoming flesh, indwelling with us, has always been the priority of the gospel. So as we look at this text, I want to highlight a few key fundamental aspects of the Great Commission. A few years ago, Barna, a research group in the U.S., conducted a survey across the churches in the United States. And the study revealed that 50% of the youth in the U.S. who are regularly attending churches, being a part of small groups, had no understanding of Great Commission, nor had they heard about the Great Commission. Of course, we don't have those two words, Great Commission, in the Bible, but it just goes to show the ignorance in the church about the Great Commission. There are approximately 3 billion people around the world who are yet to hear the gospel. We call them unreached. That means they have no access to a church, no access to a Bible, nor access to a believer. There are 3 billion people. And the Lord calls his church to go and make disciples. And that is our priority. According to authors Ott and Strauss, mission, the definition of mission, they describe as the sending activity of God with the purpose of reconciling himself, reconciling to himself, and bringing into his kingdom fallen men and women from every people, nation, and tongue. And they go on to say that the church is God's primary agent for mission in this age. I was encouraged by reading the vision statement of St. Margaret's Church to reach Auckland and beyond with the message of Christ, to equip God's people for radical, spirit-filled living, that is, making disciples. In your vision statement, you unpack pretty much Matthew 28. Now, there's a distinction between the word mission and missions. Missions with an S, it refers to all the specific and varied ways in which the church crosses cultural boundaries to reflect the life of the triune God in the world. And through that identity, it participates in a mission, that is, the purposes of God, celebrating through word and deed the inbreaking of the new creation. I was in Bangladesh a couple of years ago, and I met a young lady, and she's a part of our school. We have 1,000 kids to whom we provide primary education across Bangladesh. And some of you, if you've been to Bangladesh, it's one of the darkest countries in the world. If you're flying into the country in the night, the only few lights you can see, 70 to 80% of this country has no electricity. And we've had the joy as an organization to provide education to around 1,000 kids. And because we're involved in community development work, we employ people from all walks and backgrounds and religious backgrounds as well. So one of the teachers that we employed was from a different religious background. But as she came in contact with our workers there, and as she was teaching the kids, she encountered the gospel that was being done in word and in deed. Eventually, she surrendered her life to Christ. Now, this lady from a different religious background teaches the word of God to the kids in that neighborhood, in word and in deed. There was a girl named Beauty in Bangladesh. I don't know, some of you might know that girls are being married off at a very young age. And as a result, some of them encounter what we call their fistula of patience, and they can't give birth once they've gone through that horrendous act. And they're abandoned by their husbands. They're secluded from society. Their community rejects them. And one such girl came in contact with our team in Bangladesh. And she was shown God's love. And our team took her to a Baptist hospital in Bangladesh, and she was treated. And as the days went by, she testified the demonstration of the gospel. And she was so amazed that the girl who was left to her own device, the family had neglected her, the community had ostracized her, but here is a group of people who are looking at me as if I was created in the image of God. And as she interacted with our team, she was invited to a Christmas dinner. And she gave her life to Christ during that time. And she says, "My name is Beauty, but I never thought I was beautiful. But now I am a beautiful creation in Christ." And that is the mission of God in word and in deed. It's a beautiful juxtaposition of proclamation of the gospel as we see it in Matthew 28 and the demonstration of the gospel. So in this particular passage, there are four fundamental aspects as we look at this passage. First of all, mission of God, it's all about the person of Christ. Mission of God, it's all about the person of Christ, and it's all about the Godhead. It's about the Father, it's about the Son, and it's about the Holy Spirit. And it's God sending his Son. It began in Genesis 3:15, where God said, I will crush your head and you will bruise the seed of the woman. It all began in Genesis 3:15, all the way we find ourselves in John 3:16, as we sang this morning. The sending aspect of God always had Christ at the center of it. The mission of God is about the person of Jesus Christ, and Christ is at the center of it all. And secondly, the mission of God displays the purpose of God is to make all disciples of all nations. Here, the Lord Jesus is casting a global vision for the nations. Luke 24, 46 and 47 says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name," that is in Christ's name, "to all nations." So it's about the person of Christ. The purpose is all nations. It's global. John Stott writes this way as it relates to the global vision. It says, "We must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God." Our God is a global God. As I suggested at the beginning of my time here, there are approximately 3 billion people who are yet to hear this good news of the gospel, that Jesus came to live and die so that we could live in him. We as sinners could be reconciled back to him. Almost half of the world's population has no access to the gospel. So what does the Lord require of us? We as a movement, Operation Mobilization, started back in 1957. And we began as a movement and morphed into organization, and we were getting into the danger of becoming an institution. And a few years ago, we looked at our organization and said, what does the Lord require of us as we see the realities of the least reached, the realities of the world's population who are yet to encounter the gospel? So as a movement, we focused our vision to reach those that are yet to hear the gospel. As a result, our purpose alongside the church is to see vibrant communities of Jesus followers within reach of everyone, everywhere. Global gospel. We want to encourage the whole world with the whole gospel with every believer in mind. And that is our call. So those are some of the challenges that we see in the world. I was told that coming very new to this country, I was told that New Zealand used to be the highest sending, mission sending country per capita in the world. Highest when you compare to the rest of the world. But the trends are not so bright as it stands now. According to Missions Interlink, which was surveyed in 2016, there are only 1,500 cross-cultural missionaries from New Zealand that are working currently overseas. But God has positioned, I believe, New Zealand in a very unique place. And what does the Lord require of us? So it's about the person of Christ. It's about the purpose that is all nations. Its purpose is to make disciples. The priority is all nations. And finally, it's about the power, the authority, the presence, and the promise of Christ. And it says, "Behold, I am with you until the end of the age." Christ here says, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations." And he had walked with his disciples. He had showed them how to share faith, how to love your neighbor. And he didn't leave anything for imagination. He had walked with his disciples for that long. And at the end, he finishes off saying, "I am with you till the end of the age." And I believe he's saying that to us as well as a church here in New Zealand, that he is with us. Matthew starts off by saying, you know, "The virgin shall conceive a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And Jesus ends Matthew, as he writes in chapter 28, ends with the same saying, "I am with you till the end of the age. We have God's presence with us, who will never leave us nor forsake us. So I encourage you this morning, as we look outward, look at all the situations around the world. What is God calling us to? I would leave you with one thought, one action. We can't go anywhere currently. We can't leave our border because we're shut down. But we can do one thing. We can be praying for the nations. We can be praying for the nations. If there's one thing I would like you to take away from today's message, is that when you have a chance this evening, I would like you to go online and look for Unreached of the Day. It's a Joshua Project. Every day, you can download an app, and every day it gives you a people group and how you can be praying for them. And I encourage you to start praying for the nations and being informed about the unreached of the world, so that God may stir us and lead us into that path of making disciples among the nation. So, Father, as we come to you this morning, as we look at your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. It's with your authority that you have given to us. We don't do it by ourselves. But you have given this, your spirit. As we look outside of our country, we pray that you would give us discerning hearts and wisdom as to how you would act in our life.
The service, Graham, he'll be around for coffee and tea. And also, if you want to find out more, Joel's put some information about St. Margaret's and mission here, and you can find out a bit more information. Just as the worship band comes, why don't we build? All of us have a nation that's on our heart. It might be Aotearoa New Zealand, but I expect that in the Spirit of God, that nation that's on your heart, be it Aotearoa or another nation,